Okay. That's, oh my God. Okay. All right. Okay. How's this? Okay, over here. Better? Okay. Now you can hear every breath. So, welcome. I know it's an especially intense time in this place these days, and that's why we have more space in the hall today. Because a lot of people, yeah, it doesn't look like it, but we do. A lot of people didn't feel to be on retreat right now. So I think that can really encourage us to investigate what is it about being on retreat right now. And really take apart some of the belief systems that might get in the way in any situation. One of those belief systems has to do with work and rest, creativity and rest, intelligence and efficiency as opposed to laziness, so just welcome to feel in your own pools of experience, history, collective and individual, like what you've received about where creativity is, what efficiency is, efficiency like getting something done. And then a question of like, what's worth doing? On retreat, we have a chance to kind of go deep. And that doesn't mean mess around in your shit the whole time. Okay? That's another belief system we have, that going deep equals getting into the negativity only. Okay? What will come. When you go deep, it will all come, but it will come organically. What's important and possible now? So don't let something keep steering you towards, oh, it should be, I should be working on my whatever, my programming. By going deep, something that's in the deep helps. And sometimes it's help that's healing a knot that has been bothering you and even torturing you for your life. And sometimes help is, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even though there's always something more to be done, oh, yeah. Oh. Even though there are terrible things, an almost unbearable simplicity and goodness that we can't calculate. So let it break your head. Mindfulness is a very bad, a very poor word in English to translate from the Sanskrit smriti, or the Pali word sati, which is remembrance, which in the English word remembrance, it would be a much better choice. In the English word, it's an English word. It's not Sanskrit. It's not Pali. Remembrance has something in it of coming back together and belonging. Being a member again of life, whether it's you, a member of life, or, oh yeah, that more childhood glee is a word I want to use. What's glee in Hebrew? Simcha. Let's have all the Hebrew words for glee. Simcha. Ditza. Yeah, yeah. Bring it on. What else? Alitzut. Gil. Bring it on. Gil, avitzut, simcha, and what was the other one? Oh, okay, more. Ron, and there was another one someone said before. Ditza. Ditza gets rejected by some people. We believe by being busy, we're not wasting our time. When we're activated because we're afraid, we're worried, we're outraged, we believe that we should move from being activated or else. And it's time now, I think, to give a little space for another way. That's not saying don't act. So this is something, another, a different kind of mini belief that happens just on deep rest retreat. People believe after a few days that we're saying don't do anything. And we're not saying that. We are saying do less for a while, which means do less of your old way. Don't bring your way of being busy and worried and cultivating a sense of lack as your way of meditating. It will come with you, sure. But don't let that be what you cultivate as your way of meditating. You can meditate with it and on it and all of that, but not as what you your goal. So to come out of, an addiction to busyness and a sense of lack is a hard thing. And it's a juicy thing. And it's a countercultural thing, and people will laugh at you and so on. Are you ready to do things differently? People, yeah, they might think you're weird. Life is weird. Or is it not? Eating food, is that weird or not weird? Breathing? Peeing? Having each two hands and five fingers, a nose, is it weird or is it not weird? So we don't recommend to do nothing. To do nothing would be against life. One thing that can happen as we come in and believe in silence for a change. Let's just see what happens. And then we find inside ourselves non-silence. We wanted to be silent. And we notice non-silence. Or we notice silence and we get suspicious about that silence. It's a little too mechanical. If your mind is silent because you tell it to be, check the quality, not just the quantity of words going on in your mind. When we talk about silence, we're talking about a quality. And it's a quality that can coexist with a busy mind. It doesn't require a busy mind, but it can coexist with a busy mind. It can coexist with a broken heart. It can coexist with our deep programming that we all have. Don't think it's just you. Doing less for a while. Why? Just take that to heart, that question. Is it just to get a break? So you can go back to doing too much. Allowing ourselves to really be in touch with our own experiences internally in our silence, but in a pool of people who are interested in what is creativity for you. When has been an inspired moment? A free moment. And what did it feel like? And isn't it curious how you could let that come back and it feels as if there might be something almost timeless about it? And a moment of rest. Sometimes it might feel like you've never rested. So busy, so tired, so dry, so broken. So then maybe some relief, a moment of a little bit of relief, a little bit of recognition. A little bit of home. And even getting to know your own language of like a little bit of what. If you hear me say rest and you're like, no, that's not me. Or you hear me say home and you say, no, that's not me. So what? Where there's not so much dominance of a sense of lack or problem for a second. And it can be, especially when we're tired, that we do not remember. There can be a real sense, it feels true and it feels real in our mind when we're tired, that we've never rested, that we've never felt at home, we've never felt belonging, etc. And just again, then checking the quality of that mind state. How does that mind state feel in your body? Rather than believing it. Okay. Don't think you're alone with your negativity and with your weaknesses and with your strengths. Everyone in here, even if it's an early retreat for you, not your 60th retreat or whatever, everyone in here has the dignity of a path and a momentum. You might not recognize that. It takes much longer to recognize what our path is than to be on it. So don't go by what you recognize about yourself. Too much. Go by what you love. And each one has a little bit different path. And so that's something maybe a little different on this retreat, where the emphasis is not on a single technique that we all want you to follow correctly. So sometimes even the fact that we encourage you to experiment with lying down for meditation, someone might feel that it would be disturbing if they would want to sit up. And I'd like to introduce another kind of belonging and a way of being together. That just each in our own sincerity, like your best guess of what is more helpful for you. And that willingness to pause and feel and listen and wait for your best guess. And when you can hear or feel a best guess, and when that's possible to follow through on, great. That we're here for each other by doing our own most sincere best guessing. That's supportive for other people's most sincere best guessing. Rather than whether people are sitting or how many people are sitting, how many people are lying down, as a way of guessing, should I sit, should I lie down? The shoulds go with the shoes out there. And the shouldn'ts. And that's pretty naked. To be among other people without your shoulds and your shouldn'ts. I'm not saying that's easy. And so that's how great we don't have to talk. You don't have to explain why or why not, even to yourself. You don't have to say sorry, thank you, excuse me, please, which anyway, people always tell me here that's not used, but I hear people saying todah rabba all the time, I have to tell you. I think that's an incorrect self-image here, Israelis, about yourselves. There's, I think, one other person who's not Israeli other than I in the room. Is that correct? I hear todah rabba many times every day. But we can... And while staying close, silently listening to, okay, what now in your practice, sitting up, lying down, tuning into body sensation, maybe the lower belly or the way your back feels as breathing happens, or no, you don't feel your body almost at all, or it's hard for you. So sounds, maybe. Or seeing. Or an image or a word. While silently and closely listening, okay, what's good for this meditation session? Not digging it up too many times once you plant the seed. Just maybe stay with that for this session. Okay, belly lying down. Also, something broad. What matters to you? That's allowed. That's part of our practice. The close and the far. Okay? So it's not that you have to be juggling or tracking two things at once, but it's allowed to be curious about what matters, to know that you don't know sometimes. Many times we don't know what matters to us, actually. We know what matters to our ancestors, our parents, our etc. But to find what really matters in here, can be a long process of digestion of our experience. And part of our experience is feeling our responses to our experience. Like, why did that bother me so much? Huh, interesting. Why was that so disrupting? The way the person looked at me or whatever. Interesting. Let's feel that in the body, that disruption feeling. What matters? And other times something might just come whole to you, whole, whole, in a childhood, childlike way, like, oh. Even though there's terrible things happening, joy matters, someone might find. Not saying joy matters for all people at all times, but they might find inside themselves some kind of quality that could be called joy that feels like this and acts like this and has this chemistry with my body and mind matters. Someone might find love matters or silence matters. And can you get a feeling for just in the background being allowed to care about what you care about as the background for feeling whether you feel to sit up or lie down in this meditation? It's also coming out of a belief system that's a bit more mechanistic. So in context of what matters, how does your practice want to flow? Instead of kind of randomly, because someone told you this technique and someone else that you happen to come across told you that technique, and that's what you've been sticking to in the shipwreck of your life. Trying to, survival mode. To like what matters and being allowed to feel what actually matters, like that your cells are like, yeah, now you're listening. Maybe the little person doesn't want to care about or respond with a yes to belonging because you hate people or whatever, you feel social anxiety or whatever. But something else swims in that sea. Meanwhile. So we invite you to try a few things during these days. And I think probably pretty much everyone in here has tried them before, like being in silence in a group. And some of you might have tried it, but not really tried it, even if you've done 20 retreats. So how about trying it? Like really getting the taste of being in silence. That you don't need to look for approval or agreement or whatever. And that might be a withdrawal period, like not getting the fix. You don't need to be somebody. You don't need to prove anything. You don't need to earn your place. Also, you have a place. And the silence kind of affirms that place. We're kind of entering in retreat, we're entering into a kind of like a body of people who cared enough about something that they don't know about, that we don't know about, that we're interested in getting more into. That some strange people for thousands of years have been coming in here. To get more space for that part that's already interested in something you don't know about. Or maybe there's some other ways of knowing where you do know about, or you do know it, maybe not about it, but you know by participating in. Does that make sense? So leaving room for other kinds of knowing is another way to talk about retreat. Ah, thank God. Other ways of knowing. Silence is also a protection so that we can allow our innate, so inborn, we're born with it, sensitivity to surface. Or people who already feel like you have your sensitivity at the surface, for that to kind of settle. And we don't need to hear everybody's opinion on, for example, the teachings or dinner or whatever, the weather. Just giving some space. And we don't need to have people telling us advice about how we should do this or that with what we're cooking. And yet we have something about being together as human beings that we still in the modern culture sometimes have a hard time to acknowledge and recognize the power of just being in a group together. It already speaks to our deeper mind without informing the small person. The small person might be feeling like, oh, I don't belong here. It might either feel like they're all professional meditators and I'm the only one, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe I'm the only professional meditator. These people, you know, they came for this deep rest thing, which is not real meditation, or whatever story. But something else gets spoken to when we realize we're in a group, just by signing up for the retreat. And if we would all, maybe not even all, if some people would now breathe in together and then breathe out together one time, there's a kind of sinking that happens. That feels good. Even I'm an introvert, and it's like, I don't want it to feel good. Leave me alone. It feels good. Or we could consider now, maybe, there's a Native American tradition of starting any gathering by just acknowledging some of the things that we could all kind of stand for or feel grateful for together. Like, well, we wouldn't be here without water. We could feel grateful that there's water. That's drinkable. We wouldn't be here without air. Could be grateful that there's air that's breathable. It's not always the case. And just those simple things that we could feel, oh, that's hokey. That's not, like, what is that? Check it out. Can be surprising. Being allowed to be different and being allowed to have this common ground, that we all depend on this elemental life. There's food being prepared for us. You can be grateful for that. Not everybody's going to like it the same. Some people will not like it. Some people will like it. Someone's preparing food for us. Just that willingness to be giving the time to make our food, whether we like the food or not. They're willing to be there instead of here for our practice. And how is it to feel grateful for that? Even if you kind of like, well, a little bit. It's good for us. It's wholesome for us. So letting yourself be as different as you are, and also allowing the ways that some deeper parts of our being know about belonging already. And let that support you. It gives some coherence that we are often lacking in the modern culture, in so-called daily life. And there's one other factor that we play with. So we have a small schedule to follow, so you don't have to think about what to do. But it's not about being obedient to it. It's about letting it work for you. And if sometime you find yourself wanting or needing to be outside during a silent meditation, and that's your sincere best guess, that that's most helpful for you to go deep, go for it. If you later find out by doing it that it was an escape, that's good to know. Right? If your sincere best guess is to come to the hall, the way we really invite you is to come maybe 5 minutes early so you can really set up comfortably without rush and really be here for the whole meditation. So sometimes people feel like, oh, a deep rest retreat, we can kind of slack off. Depends on what part you want to slack off. Slack off on the worry, slack off on the sense of lack, slack off on the pressure, slack off on working on your problems all the time. And come early so that you have plenty of time to set yourself up comfortably and to find out that you tried your best to be comfortable and well-supported and you're not. And you can rearrange things and settle in again. And even come to it like settled in, and then a longer breath might come and you're settled in even more and your body, then you still have time to put a little more support under your right knee or whatever. And then just enjoy letting stillness take over. If possible. If then you find you're in a position where your body is in pain and the pain starts to become the major feature of your so-called meditation, maybe silently shift your posture as minimally as possible and continue that way. Suggestion. So we have silence. We have a schedule. We have the support of volunteers cooking for us who've already figured out and ordered and prepared who's going to do what, when, all that stuff that we're so glad not to be doing this week. Enjoy that support. And then there's this kind of tricky feature of the commitment. Here we are entering now 5 days, which we had wished was six. And the fact of the commitment is helpful because it can help bring up in moments, hopefully not the whole time, resistance, when you might really feel like you got to get out of here. And then that can help you just feel that in your body and find out what happens. Just by being present with that sensation. There are usually a couple of kind of, I think of them as threshold it's not really just a moment, it's usually some maybe half day hours where there's a squeeze. So even when you're feeling like you got to get out of here and these are not your people, you're not alone. It's usually happening simultaneously. And when we have this willingness, we wish we were doing a 6-day retreat and we're doing 5, it might be now already starting the first squeeze. So relax and enjoy the ride. Remember that you're allowed to feel what matters, not just to your small mental person, but to your being, in your being. And that you're the one who can listen closely to your best guess and sometimes have the power to follow through on that, which then even a moment of that gives so much momentum. And that's what really counts. That's what you'll be so grateful for later on. Part of our schedule is in the morning, after the morning meditation, you don't have to get in a car and drive anywhere. Just walk. I don't know if we're going to even try to start outside. The idea was to do the yoga on the outside space where there's mats. And if you've been here before, there used to be shade, or at least in August there was shade. We're thinking it might be too cold, possibly too wet. So we're going to see. The yoga, I think it's at 7:15, is that right? 7 in the morning. I highly recommend Odilia's yoga class. And whether you're like an advanced, very experienced asana practitioner or not at all, it's deceptively simple. That means it seems like it's really too simple for you if you're very experienced, or even if you're a beginner, like, what are we doing here? Where's the headstand? It's like you get like a slow realignment through the week. That's, I really recommend trying it out. And otherwise also feel equally welcome if your best guess is to do your own practice during that time at 7, somewhere in the spacious grounds. Feel free to go with your best guess. But in case you're feeling open, in case it's your mind that says, I want to do my workout or whatever, maybe there's room for both. I get up earlier and do my own yoga, and then I go to the realignment session with Odilia. So just to have that in mind. So thank you for being here. I'm really, really glad to meet each one of you. And even if you might feel like, wow, you're in a big group of people, you can be invisible and the teachers won't notice you're here, it's fine. That's how I would have been, like, leave me my space. But we do want to actually connect with you, even if we never talk one-to-one. We're not trying to make you anonymous, like the yogis or whatever. And it's important to us to let you feel you're allowed to carefully listen to your own unique way, what supports you. Okay? And we'll be available for one-to-ones probably from tomorrow already to help fine-tune. You don't have to come with even a question or a problem or whatever, and you also can come with whatever problem, question, issue. And you don't have to come. So we give you that burden of responsibility of out of respect. And that's a practice. If you're shy, don't necessarily be dominated by the shyness. And don't feel obliged. So I'm so happy to also be here with our team, the kitchen team, and Shahar and Magal taking care of everything. I would not be here without, especially Shaharji's cultivating the connection and the support, and then bringing the dream team together. So I think someone at some point said, I'll do it if Tamiji can manage the kitchen. Is that right? seem to remember. And as soon as Tamiji came off of a month-long retreat, we asked the very next day, I think, and she said yes. And we're like, all right, let's do it. So thank you for being part of this. And I'll pass the literal microphone to Adelia.
I'll speak English now, but other times when I'm on here alone a little bit, it'll be Hebrew. And I've forgotten what I wanted to say before. Listening to Jaya, what comes through strongly for me right now, other than really just wanting to welcome everyone. So maybe I'll put that aside and start with welcoming. It's always the case that when we sign up with the intention to be on retreat, we have no idea how our life will be when we actually begin, even if it's a day later. And I think now it's more than ever that way. So other than what's going on in our personal and close circle of life, which I don't know, and which for everyone is usually something very, very full and interesting and challenging and unique and not unique, all of that. There's what's going on now in this area in Israel, and not easy, I think, for many, maybe most, maybe all of us. And that needs to be acknowledged. So just taking into account that many of us are maybe coming into retreat with an even bigger stretch of an even bigger gap between what day looks like and what this is maybe about to look like, so that even when we use the word retreat, sort of the literal meaning of retreating from life, of taking a step back, which is borrowed from the Quaker tradition, that word. Now maybe sanctuary is even stronger, or even some kind of detox, for just the amount of information, the amount of overwhelm, the clips and the video and what's coming in through social media and the actual events that we are aware of or not aware of, and our own reactions to them, and the amount of stress and pain and sorrow and difficulty and fear that's going on maybe for many of us. So just to make space, and so when I say welcome, and it's just a simple thing of wanting to welcome us all, but really as we are, with everything that is in our laps or in our hearts or in our minds. Not needing to not needing to fit into another shape. Welcome with all of that. With all of that. So that's, I think, what I really want to include here. And including welcoming maybe the question, is it okay that I'm here? Here are the spaces of the people who didn't come. Is it okay that I came? And having that still be a question, and that's also okay, and it wouldn't make sense for me to have an answer, but I think that there's something in this exploration of meaningfulness and of connection and of interconnection that will help, hopefully, first of all, allow us to settle, allow us to bring our sympathetic system down, bring our anxiety down, ground us a little, make us feel a little more settled, and then hopefully, bit by bit, understand why even just coming back out in a few days with a little bit more stability, with a little bit more open-heartedness, with a little bit more clarity, could be a huge thing, personally and beyond personally. And as I want to say about deep rest, that Jaya said everything already, but listening to you, what came to me, and it always does, is how much deep respect and trust there is in this approach to what's already in us. We're not inventing or following or squeezing into something. And this invitation to often very courageously, a lot of courage to, okay, I don't know. I don't know the way. I don't know what's best. I don't even know where to put my body this way, you know, on the, my head on the ground or not, or even on the side, you know, is it going to matter? And how is it that I'm dealing with these little questions, and what is the connection between all these little questions and the spiritual path? And in a way, the really bringing back to ourselves the freedom of exploration, the freedom of not knowing, and the freedom of making mistakes, and the freedom of discovering new things, even small things that then don't feel small at all. What is small in relation to what? So yeah, the courage and the trust. And I guess what I'd like to suggest for us, particularly to meet whatever moment each of us are in, is the quality of friendliness. Friendliness as an aspect of metta, an aspect of the path, and maybe in the particular aspect of bringing warmth, the quality of warmth and interest. And maybe it's not very available. So to whatever amount of availability friendliness is, let's invite it in a little closer. Maybe we can spread a little bit of friendliness just to the couple of people next to us, in the sense, you know, just, or maybe we feel that we're receiving a little bit of friendliness from whoever's just right next to us in the hall. Or maybe we can bring up the memory of someone, the image of someone that the minute we see them, we know friendliness. It's not a question. Or the scent or the color of friendliness, but something that can kind of loosen us into warmth and into welcoming and into accepting whatever's going on as we are. And I guess I do want to read a poem that I just came across, written, I guess, by a Buddhist nun. Even for this, I need glasses. Full of trust, you left home and soon learned to walk the path, making yourself a friend to everyone, and making everyone a friend. When the whole world is your friend, fear will find no place to call home. I'm going to read that one a bit again. When the whole world is your friend, fear will find no place to call home. And when you make the mind your friend, you'll know what trust really means. Listen, I have followed this path of friendship to its end, and I can say with absolute certainty it will lead you home. So just to welcome ourselves really with that kind of space for friendliness, whatever amount we can feel, we can summon up, we can call, and curiosity and interest to see what deep rest and what this retreat can bring for us all here in the hall and outside. So have a very, very good retreat.